SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's a roll on the bench, coast to coast, in the biggest way possible, hanging out. The bad seat, the broken day, the bad apple with a bad attitude. We are live in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh, people dressed in plastic bags, to travel or some kind of fashion show, get up, do that. Along with the Tutty and Tater King himself, the golf guru, on the actual week of the Cape Cod Open. Carver High this afternoon with us, ladies and gentlemen. Mafia running it with Luke Amilpada, fresh off a birthday weekend for Luke. He's been drunk since Friday. The rundown on a misery Monday. We got a double shot with Morenci coming up this very hour in the 5 o'clock hour, the final hour. Coach Young, a double shot on the opening of the NBA season tomorrow night, and previewing the upcoming campaign and the Liberty Championship and the Lynx coach and how much she's going to be fined for all the comments about the refs after the game. And then finally, Joe Z, one of my favorite people of all time. There he is, Joe Zagacki, the legendary voice of the Miami Hurricanes. They have hot cheerleaders. All today with Carver High. And I got to tell you, it was a really enjoyable night for me watching the Steelers have sex with the Jets for 31 consecutive points. Hey, ho, hey, ho. And let me tell you something else, Carver High. In my view, they've got how many games left? They got 10 games left. And they win 5 of them, they're going to the playoffs.
Yeah, and I believe of those, you know, you talk about getting 5 more wins, I think they play the Browns still twice, right? They still play the Browns twice, which you would say, and I know, division rival, blah, blah, blah. They play the Giants next Monday night, right, at home at the place the Steelers play. That's 3 right there, maybe. So, things looking very good for the Steelers after last night, big win over the Jets, 31 straight points. And you know what? I know that we questioned Tomlin. Is he making the right move? Is he doing that? There's one thing, you know, what he wanted happened. The reason he put him in is because he wanted to see more push in the passing game. He wanted to see deep balls to Pickens. He wanted to see, and that's exactly what happened.
And
everyone involved. So it worked. This week it worked.
And it opens up tremendously their running game, which now Najee back-to-back over a Bill, back-to-back over 100-yard games for him against Vegas and now against the Jets. And remember, the Jets have one of the best defenses in the NFL, which is a load of Shaq. Remember, the Jets were going to the Super Bowl, and now the Jets are going nowhere. They're going nowhere, which is also going to hell in a bucket. At least they're enjoying the ride. Their season's over. And to listen to this guy, you know, the guy that never shuts up. You think I'm bad? How about this guy, Rodgers? He's on every interview. He's on every show, McAfee, everything else. What isn't he on? He's on the press conferences for him. He's the elder statesman of the NFL. I literally heard this guy. He's lost his mind. What he should do is go on another darkness retreat and trip. You know, he likes doing psychedelics. So he needs to go do some psychedelics. When he said, we're going to win 10 in a row, but we got to win one first. Like, is this guy, you know what? He has a better chance of turning 41 in 6 weeks than he does of winning a game.
No doubt. And look, I think that there are a few more losses away
He's finished.
From him from him packing up and maybe going back to that darkness retreat out in California desert, wherever it is that he goes. He does not. And look, this, I was very surprised. You were very surprised that so many people thought, no big deal. Didn't play last year. Achilles injury. 40 years old now. Aaron Rodgers, gonna be all good. No shot. He is not the same player as you could be expected. Not everyone is Tom Brady. There hasn't been a lot of Tom Brady's in NFL history. After 40, very difficult to start doing that. He'll be 40 this year, whatever it is, but
Joe,
still.
I watched that Niner game. He's boring. Oh, my God, is he boring.
He needs to go. He needs to go own the Raiders. $350
doing a game. $350 million they pay that guy. You know what he does? He smiles. He's got really nice hair. And that's why they pay him. Greg Olsen is so much better than him at calling a game. It's not even fair what they did to him. And he's an owner now. What he should do is just walk away. Just get out now while you're ahead. You suck at it anyway. He sucks.
He will within 2 years. Within 2 years, he'll figure it out, and he'll either not be able to take the criticism of people saying how bad he is at it, or something will happen that'll interfere with the ownership angle. I give it 2 years, and he'll parachute out of there. This wasn't for me.
I think he should quit now at the end of this year.
Well, that would help us. That would help the viewer, because it's not great. It's not great to sit there and listen to, but I don't.
Did you see him after the game? They go, like, when the game's over, they have this thing called overtime that's awful. And
I never watched that.
Okay, well, so here I am having dinner, and I got it on, and I'm watching the game. So then I'm eating, and then there comes this overtime show. And the first time they come on the set, they go right back to Brady at the booth in the stadium with the stadium empty, and he's sitting there smiling, talking about the game, and it's worse than the game. Like, watching him talk is worse than him calling the game. Watching him, like, break down what happened.
Is that?
Like, dude, he really is bad. And I don't understand who is dumb enough at Fox, and I'm just going to say it, to give him that job. Like, I get it. He's won 7 Super Bowls. But sometimes you can't put the, cart before the horse. Like, yeah. They think that just because a guy played professional sports that he's going to be a good broadcaster is bad enough. It's another thing to think a guy was a catcher, so he's suddenly going to be the next great manager. Like, a guy played football, so, he has to be like Jeff Saturday. You remember when they put that clown into, let's face it, that was a clown show. When he got the Colts job, what a clown show that was. Stick to doing, ESPN talk shows, because that's all you're worth. No offense, he was a great player, but he was a terrible coach. And it's these people in sports that I wonder sometimes if they're actually stupid.
You do have to wonder that sometimes. And yes, I can't imagine that Tom talking to
Ursay is stupid. As we know, is a wasteoid. So his decision make, like, he was, at least his dad was smart. Like, when he left, he left in the middle of the night, like a cat burglar. His stupid son reminds me of Al Davis's stupid son. He's another one. No one that loves him has told him that he's got a cereal bowl haircut. I mean, it's bad enough I look like Beethoven, but I don't look like I have a cereal bowl on my head.
You don't. We have all of that today with the football. We have all the college from Saturday that we have to talk about. And of course, how about the Hoosiers? Absolutely kicking in the teeth of Nebraska on Saturday afternoon. It was unbelievable. And they got the over by themselves again, which I love. And let's also forget, we have the World Series matchup many have wanted to see the last few years, with tons of stars, Yankees and Dodgers. Friday night, game one in LA. Get ready. It's going to be a lot of fun with those two.
Juan Soto's home run Saturday night was the best thing that's ever happened to me in my life, including my wife and children.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You can catch Sports Rage weeknights at 10 East, 7 West, along all of our outlets. And that includes TV stations, streaming networks, radio stations, satellite radio, channel 159 on SiriusXM. More importantly, you can catch him every day with our fantastic show, Double Shot, with him from Vancouver, which is more important than lunch, which is what time it is out in Vancouver. So he skips lunch every day and makes his lady wait till the bottom of the hour before they can start eating and drinking.
I haven't done breakfast yet, to be honest. It's still early for me.
It's a little early. It's a wake-up call every day.
I've been up for a couple hours. I'm fired up. Big night of football tonight. We got a doubleheader, and I'm still buzzing about the World Series as well.
All right, so let's start with that. We haven't seen it since 81, 78, 81. These two, let's face facts. They're the greatest franchises in baseball, bar none. That's just all there is to it. All the others have won, and certainly there's titles, and the San Francisco Giants, and we could go on and on, the litany of teams that have won World Series. But there's no franchises like these two. 22 times I think it's 22 that the Dodgers have been to the World Series. And now, and I think that was their 25th pennant that they've been to. And then the Yankees have gone to 41 World Series, and they've won 27 of them. And they haven't won one in 15 years. The last time they played the Dodgers, they lost to them in 81. And I think 78 and 81 were two of the greatest World Series I ever saw. So what do you think? You're going to game one Friday night for 1,300 clams, which is a lot less money than Mafia won this weekend. But we won't talk about that on the air. We'll just leave it at that. Mafia won more money than you, with his betting prowess, than you paid for that ticket.
I'm going to have to pick more winners to pay for these trips as well. So Friday night, we're going to be in Los Angeles for game one of, as you stated, it just doesn't get any more iconic than this. The two biggest brands in baseball, amongst the biggest brands in entire sports in the world. The Dodgers have always been a global team. The Yankees have always been that global. Like, people in France, like Paris, you saw at the Olympics, people in the stands are wearing Yankee hats, bro. Right, they can't tell you to line up, but they're wearing Yankee hats. It's just, it's larger than life. And then when you get into a baseball perspective, and I'm a baseball, I'm not Bill James here, but I'm a baseball historian. I really love the history of the game and stuff. And from the rivalry in the 50s with the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Boys of Summer and Jackie Robinson and the Don Larsen, the perfect game, just so much stuff. So much stuff in history with these teams. And as you stated, the 77-78 stuff, Reggie Jackson, the Bronx Zoo, fans running on the field, L.A. versus, New York. It's just, you couldn't get better. And then 81, remember, was Fernando Mania, Scott. Fernando Valenzuela was a rookie. And now you have Shohei Ohtani. Just throw away that. Imagine, Scott. You have Shohei Ohtani versus Aaron Judge in the same freaking World Series, bro. And you also have Juan Soto in here, and Yamamoto, and just on Mookie Betts, unbelievable stuff from the star power, the cities, the brands. I mean, it's as good as it gets, Scott. It really is. And the series is essentially not a pick'em, but close to a pick'em.
So in 78, the Yankees lost the first two games at Dodger Stadium, and it was basically, 6 years old at that time or something like that. And then they returned to Yankee Stadium, otherwise known at that time as the Bronx Zoo.
The Bronx was a zoo.
And they won three straight before they clinched it in Los Angeles in game six, which is what the Mets were unable to do last night. And of course, Guidry was the Cy Young winner that year in 78. He went 25 with a 1.74 ERA. He was a freak. But you all, as you talked about, in 81, the Yankees won the first two games of the 81 World Series against LA, but the Dodgers won four straight, and they won the championship, sweeping them out after losing the first two. So I guess the first two don't matter. Both times,
the history,
that lost won the World Series.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that. I'm like, please win the game I'm going to. Please win. I actually went to the Yankees-Dodgers a couple of years ago because it was so special, right? They never really played that much.
Did you go when he broke his toe, right? You were there.
I was at the game that Aaron Judge ran into the wall, bro. Right
Your
in front
bad
of me.
Luck.
And I told you, I actually didn't see it. I heard it. Like, word of no lie, I was literally walking down the steps like double fist and it's gone. I came back, I got a couple of drinks. I'm walking down the steps and I just hear, ba-boom. And I'm like, what the?
What do you call them, Dodger Teenies?
Yeah, the my Dodgeritas. Things are like 37 bucks a pop, bro.
I always get it wrong, Dodger Teenies.
Dodgerita. The Dodgeritas. Yeah, so I was actually at the game. And normally I sit behind home plate area, like 10, 15 right. rows up. But that series, it was insanely expensive, Scott. So I was like, yeah, you know what? I'll sit with the crazies in the outfield. And I was literally in the front row of the outfield. It was pretty cool. It was hot as hell. I was just like baking in the sun out there. And like Judge was right in front of me. And by chance, of course, me, I miss it. The one big play. I get up to go get a drink. I come back. I hear everyone like, oh. And I just heard this like, dude, it sounded like a car crash. Like he's so big, bro. Like, ba-boom. He ran into the fence type thing, and the fence, like, moved, yeah. and he hit his toe on the concrete. I don't know why they had concrete at the bottom. They padded that up. But of all games, Scott, I was there when Judge got hurt. So, yeah, maybe I'm a curse for the Yankees there. We'll see. The Yankees won the game, though.
Listen to this. It gets even creepier. So, in 81, they won it, and then they didn't go back for 15 years. In 09, they won it, and they haven't been back in 15 years. So, here they go
symmetry.
Again. It's the, all of it's so creepy. 78, 81, the 15 years, the toe, everything's, you know, kind of bizarre leading up to this series on Friday night, game one. It's going to be, obviously, Boone's already named his starter. He's going with his ace, the Cy Young. He's going to, I don't know who the Dodgers are pitching, but we all know Garrett Cole's going in game one Friday night.
And the Dodgers have played it pretty close to the vest throughout the playoffs for the most part when they're starting pitching. My guess is it's Yamamoto.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. And I thought he pitched great. Ohtani's numbers in the CS were phenomenal.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So, first of all, what do you think will happen to Indiana now that they've lost their quarterback with a broken thumb and they're 7-0 and playing Washington at home this week and game day is going to the Bloomington Memorial Stadium for the first time ever?
Oh, it really is. It's so disappointing, man. I don't know what it is with the Rourke brothers, Scott. They have really bad luck, right? They're great quarterbacks. His brother, Nate, was the Ohio Bobcat quarterback before Curtis, and now he's the quarterback of the BC Lions. But 2 years ago in the CFL, he was the MVP of the league, and he got hurt. And then his season was over. He tried to make it in the NFL. He didn't stick, so he came back to the CFL. And he just got benched because the BC Lions are winning football games. Their quarterback, Vernon Adams, former Oregon Duck quarterback, is the quarterback. Long story short, he got hurt. They gave Nate Rourke like $1 million-a-year deal. And then he just lost his job. They went back to Vernon Adams, and now his brother with the thumb injury. It's just too bad. I think this team is so good, Scott, as good as Rourke is. I think Cignatti's that good of a coach that they can keep this thing going, right? I think, you know, it's so disappointing. Well, you know what, man? This guy, Scott, what he did at James Madison, now just rolling this over into Indiana, I mean, just absolutely murdering Matt Rhule and company. And I heard, Scott, all week last week, oh, Matt Rhule this, Matt Rhule. Matt Rhule's one of these dudes that, like, you guys can say he's a great coach all you want over and over, but like, doesn't make it true. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're right.
Like, no, they I keep hearing this.
Smoke.
Oh, and Matt, like, I watch College Game Day, and let's see Indiana now against this Matt Rhule. Matt Rhule. Now they're playing a real. Yeah, whatever, dude. They hung 56 on them, bro. You know what I mean? Like, and Nebraska gets hyped up. I get it. I got nothing against Matt Rhule, but let's stop pretending like he's some genius and guru or something like that. He's a mediocre coach, bro, that the media likes.
Your Bills, they look great. And I want to know your thoughts on Mahomes, how he owns living rent-free in the Niners' heads. And then you did the game last night on Sports Grid. Steelers kicked the Jets' ass and Russell Wilson was spreading the butter.
Well, first thing with the Bills, I'm not surprised. Listen, they got the Titans, so let's not get too crazy about the win. But they did play Monday night, so boom. You back-to-back wins. Everything's calm in Bills world once again at 5-2. I think people overreact when the Bills lose a game. We all do. And I've been saying it for years about the Bills. The Bills have a pattern. They basically lose one game a month, and everybody flips out. And then they'll win two or three in a row, and again, they'll lose, and everybody flips out. And then they win three in a row again. With the Bills, it's all about the postseason. But I love the Cooper acquisition. You know what I mean? It's a new Diggs without, and you see Diggs yesterday. Diggs is insane now.
He's crazy.
Like, he's starting to lose it. Like, if you're the Texans, you got to be thinking, man, now we know why Buffalo did this. You know what I'm saying? Now we know why they did this. It's like, bro, you don't think that motivates the Green Bay Packers when you try to fight the entire team before the game? Right? Like, they wanted to kill him. I don't know what he said to them, man, but they were mad, the Packers. like, they were like, what? Like, it wasn't just Jair Alexander. You saw a couple of them.
Cannon.
Like,
he's
like flew
cannon,
over, bro. Like, what the hell did you just say to us? Yeah, exactly. And he's not as good as he used to be. So the combo ain't adding up. But I love Cooper. Cooper's a quiet guy. Funniest story, Nick Saban said last week, he goes, I had Cooper for three, four years at Alabama. He goes, I never had a conversation with him once. He doesn't talk. Like, it's the opposite of Diggs. So they got a guy that doesn't talk, fits in, and can provide that role that Diggs did, especially in the slot and stuff. And he can, you know, stretch the field a little bit. So I like that. It's pretty crazy, guys. I already had the tickets to the Bills Seahawks game, and I'm not bailing on it. So Friday night, we're going to be in Los Angeles for game one of the World Series, Scott. And then Sunday afternoon, I'll be at Lumen Field in Seattle for the Bills Seahawks, baby. What a weekend.
That's very impressive. I'm jealous. If I wasn't 3,000 miles away, I'd join you. Let's look at the Steelers and Russell Wilson and Mahomes.
Very impressive, man, last night how the Steelers look. You notice, Scott, you're a Steeler fan. There was an extra energy to the Steelers last night, man. Like on defense, the crowd. It was almost like they were like a college team. You know, blocking field goals, the entire bench, like, runs off onto the field. And, they really had an extra energy level last night. There was great stuff to see. Dude, no one gets rich betting against Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, we were talking about Matt Rhule. At what point do we just say the Niners aren't, you know, they're not that, Scott? You know what I mean?
Yeah, right,
like,
now,
the Niners. The Niners.
They're not that. They're not going to the Super Bowl.
They're a 3-4 football team. Tonight, we got some really fun games. Give me the Tampa Bay Buccaneers plus the 3.5 in an absolute track meet shootout. Game goes over the number. And I like Kyler Murray and the Cards to get it done tonight, Scott, on their home field.
Wow. I bet that other way. I went Ravens. So we'll see what happens. Great stuff as always, Gabe. Enjoy the games tonight.
Thanks, Scott.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Carver, hi. I got to tell you, Saturday night I'm watching this game. It's 2-2 when Stanton hits the home run, and he deserved the MVP. But when that game, when they blew that lead, I was losing my mind. And then to watch, or you know, the game they lost, they blew the lead. Then the second game that they won, they blew the lead. This game, they didn't blow the lead. They got to the 10th inning, and then Soto had what might have been the greatest at bat I've ever seen. He foul off 7 pitches, and then he just absolutely belted the biggest bomb ever to right center field out in the clutchest of moments in extra innings of a championship series. And I'll say this. I know that you might have something on here about it. But you're talking about Stanton, that they'll never let him leave New York. He's not going to the Mets. Okay? No one plays for this team and goes to the World Series, win or lose, and leaves to play for anyone else. And if they do, you see what happens to them. You remember our guy, Cano, he was obliterated from the face of the earth when he went to Seattle. You saw what happened to him. Don't get me started on guys that think they can leave the Yankees and have a better life somewhere else. They'll never get their rocks off again like playing for the Bombers. When you put those pinstripes on and play at Yankee Stadium, nothing, including Citi Field, equals that level of juice. So what's going to happen is he's going to win him a World Series, and then he's going to sign a gigantic deal for $500,000 or $600,000, and that'll be that.
Yeah, he's going to make a lot of money. In fact, I remember they were interviewing everyone on the field Saturday night after they won, and like they even grabbed Hal, the great Hal, for a couple of moments. And like they asked him about Soto, and you could see like the numbers ringing in his head, like above his head. It was like one of those cartoons with all the numbers. When they asked him about Soto, he was like, yeah, like he knows he's screwed now, in terms of, you know, any kind of negotiation. There is no negotiation. You're going to pay the guy whatever he wants.
That's it.
And that's it. Like, there's just really nothing about it at this point. He's going to be there. A lot did happen from the time we left here on Friday. And
them
winning. I mean, Friday night was nuts because you had Stanton hitting the three-run homer that put him up 6-2.
And
they blew that game. And then the Guardians
still won.
Gave it to, you know, with the error by Rocchio in the ninth allowed him to score the couple of runs. They had no arms left. I was texting you this. They brought the lighter guy in. He wasn't even on the roster that morning. Like, that guy wasn't good enough to be on the roster, and yet he was good enough to get huge outs Friday and Saturday night. They went back to him two nights. The guy wasn't even there. Imagine if you didn't have him available.
Just leave him on the team already. Honest to Christ.
Right. So he'll be on the roster for the World Series. You can bet that. And then, of course, Saturday night, let's get right to it. You know what happened here. Of course, Stanton hit the two-run homer.
I went nuts.
To get this game 2-2.
I went nuts.
Game goes to extras. Both teams seemingly running out of decent arms. And then Juan Soto getting involved against Gattis. And by the way, every reliever on Cleveland is just the best guy in the world, if you were listening to all these broadcasts the last few days. But it didn't matter because Soto took care of Gattis on Saturday night. Here it is, WFAN in New York.
The 1-2 swung on, a high fly to center. Back goes Thomas on the track. He's at the wall, and she's gone! A three-run home run. The Yankee bench comes on the field. Wow, what a Soto photo. A long, high, high fly to deep right center and out. He's wonderful. Marvelous. A three-run blast by Soto with two outs here in the 10th. And the Yankees now take a 5-2 lead, and they're three outs away from going to the World Series.
I'll tell you what, that was entertaining and everything, but it wasn't nearly that weak of a call.
It was.
With Brian Anderson. I mean, he knew right when he hit it, he was like, this ball is deep. This ball is gone. And the guy that did the best call, I don't think I sent it to you, was the Spanish guy that they use.
Oh, Ricky Ricardo.
Ricky Ricardo was the greatest call ever. I didn't understand a word of it, but it was, and I took 5 years of Spanish. I slept with my Spanish teacher at Indiana University to get a C-. I just wanted to say, are we on the air? Don't talk about what?
No.
All right, so Ricardo's call of it was sensational. But I thought Sterling, as usual, loses it in the lights. There's a high pop.
really didn't have a lot of gas behind
him. No gas. They got to send him packing. Are they really going to send him to Los Angeles?
He's marvelous. He's giving you like the show tunes. John,
he's so wonderful.
Now, look, that is by far, and John's done a lot of home run calls for a lot of guys in the last 50 years. The Soto one is not good. Now, you can't get – it's hard. You can't recreate the magic of burn, baby, burn, or, you know, any of that. Like, that stuff, he just doesn't have it with Soto. Soto, he doesn't have the same umph with that. Either way, the Soto three-run homer sends the Yankees to the World Series on Saturday night. They go back for the first time since 2009 when they, of course, won that year. Aaron Boone – he's knocked on the door. This was his third crack at trying to get to the World Series in the ALCS. Finally does it. So proud of this
so
team.
Proud.
What does it feel like?
It's amazing. It really is. You know, you pour so much into it, right? All year. Not just the baseball season. It doesn't stop in the winter and the spring. And, you know, you pour so much into it. And I couldn't be more proud to do it with this organization. You know, the Steinbrenner family has been amazing to me. Getting to work with Brian Cashman, who's been amazing to me, and all his front office. And then the guys I get to go to work with every day, my coaches and these players, that's why you do it. And this is we've had some great groups, some great camaraderies, some great clubhouses. This group is as close as I've ever seen. And they trust each other. They lean on each other. They love each other. They play for each other. And those are special things to have in a team sport.
There's nothing like having our team in the World Series. There really isn't. And, you know, the Evil Empire, it's so awesome that they're back. And, you know, I've loved them my whole life. Even when I was a little kid, I just thought, you know, Reggie Jackson, and I mean, it went on and on. Dave Winfield, Gossage, you know, Guidry, just so many of them. I could just sit here and go on. We've talked about Mickey Rivers. There's been so many Chambliss. There's been so many guys. Munson, it just goes on and on and on and on and on. And you can love a team like that. Like, I like George Brett. I always love the Yankees, and I love the Pirates. It's that simple. And it's fair to do that. I have no problem doing that. I have a National League team. I have an American League team. I've lived in New York for almost 30 years, and I've gone to Yankee Stadium 5 million times. And I've been a part of a lot of their championship seasons, and it's just great having them in it. It's just great that our team's in it and Mafia's isn't.
It really is. It is fun to have them back in the Fall Classic for the first time in 15 years. And, you know, for Boone there,
you got to win it.
I've probably been as hard on that guy as anyone else. Like, they'll never win with this manager. I've probably said that 6,000 times. I got to give Boone some credit for something, because I still don't believe he makes the lineup. I'm sure that that's a lot of him and Cashman together. The way he navigated the arms that he had specifically on Friday and Saturday night to be able to get through that game, that was the best two nights of managing I've ever seen from Aaron Boone, what he did on Friday and Saturday night to get them through. So hats off to him. And great, can't wait. Going to be a lot of fun.
Call will start game on Friday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So I think the first time I went to Yankee Stadium, Mike, was like 1980. My dad took me to see the Yankees, and we sat behind home plate, and I watched Charlie Huff pitch. And I was like, I'll never forget it. I was like, this is crazy, this place. This place is crazy. And I was like, what is happening here? I'm walking around River Ave. I'm like, Stan, what is happening here? And then I went in. My dad was like buying me beers. And I had it all going, like a Red Man Chew and the cup. I was spitting. Sitting behind home plate at Yankee Stadium, forget about it. It was all over, but the shouting. And I did 81 games a year with the Pirates my whole life as a child and as a young kid through high school. And when I went off to Indiana University, I never looked back. I haven't really gone regularly since. But all I ever remember my whole life was the Yankees and the Pirates. And then you have to understand, when you're from Pittsburgh and you beat the Yankees in the 1960 World Series, which was before my time, but – there used to be a brick out in Oakland where the stadium was, Forbes Field, and they left it there to this day. And every kid growing up in Pittsburgh their whole life knew about 1960 and Bill Mazeroski and Hal Smith. Everyone knew. And the Gunner, Bob Prince, and Hauk, and all these great players that played for the Pirates that beat the Yankees. My whole life, all I knew was Yankees and Pirates. That's all I knew. That's all I know now. So everyone else can kiss my ass. That's it for me. The Yankees are in the World Series. I hate the Dodgers. I hate everyone else's teams. I hate you, Mafia, and your stupid Mets. They didn't get it done.
Look, 1987 for me, by the way, first time at the big yard, in the old big yard, the one that's now been torn down.
The old big
1987 yard for me. And look, I know that everybody wants to cry and complain, and there's a lot of people who I've already seen starting to do it, that it's the two biggest – of course they should be here. Nobody spends more money. They have the best players. They spend the most money. They have blah, 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 blah.
You have to win
it. It's so easy for this to happen. If it was so easy, why is it the first time since 1981 the Dodgers and the Yankees are playing in the World Series? If it's so easy. They have people complain. People are complaining like this was like, you know how we were complaining when the Warriors and the Cavs played each other every year in the NBA Finals? They played, what, four years in a row? That's complaining. Chiefs and Niners every year. That's complaining. The Yankees and the Dodgers haven't played each other. So there you go.
In
43
decades.
Years ago. Okay, that's how long it's been since they've played in the World Series. How about you enjoy it instead of the...
How about you shut your face?
All the money they spend. Oh, I'm sorry. I guess you guys liked it more when it was... let's see here, Scotty. I got a list for you here. Oh, Rangers, Diamondbacks. Astros, Phillies, Astros, Braves, Nationals, Astros, Cubs, Indians, Mets, Royals, Giants, Royals, Giants, Tigers. You prefer that over the Yankees and the Dodgers.
I like the song by Filter, the band, where the singer yells, "I hate your face." Here's what I think of people that don't like the Yankees and Dodgers in the World Series or that think it's so easy. I hate your face.
And they're all going to watch, too. That's the best part.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to get all the stories.
And the networks are going to make $1 billion.
It will be the most watched World Series in a long time because it's the Yankees and the Dodgers.
Ever.
Maybe I don't know if they can get back to the ever stuff because baseball, like, in the 70s and 80s, it was like the NFL now. Everybody watched baseball. But now it's kind of – people don't love baseball as much anymore. But I think it'll be the highest in the last 20 years.
Oh, yes, it will.
20, 25 years, it'll be the highest.
Even if it's not, they're going to tell you it is. Just like the NHL with their liar ratings.
Not, they're going to tell you it is.
The NHL with their liar rating.
The NHL, they're good too. All right, so the Dodgers will be there. They beat the Mets 10-5. They win the series in 6. Tommy Edman – This guy went bonkers the last couple games against the Mets. He got him going, put him ahead, and they never looked back. FS1 last night with a 2-run homer.
Edmund drives this ball deep left center field. Back goes Nimmo. Cleanup, Tommy Edman. A 2-run blast. Little man with a big impact in his first October in L.A.
Well, one good thing that comes of it is that Brandon Nimmo will be able to get his plantar fasciitis down and get his feet better in the offseason. And then the other bit of bad news for Mets fans, there's some good, some bad. The bad news is that say bye-bye to Pete Alonso. And the other rumor that's already circulating is that he's going to go to the Yankees because they've had about enough of Rizzo's old age and problems. Rizzo plays about 10 games a year, and he's like a cripple. So they want the younger Alonso, allegedly. You heard it today. You saw the stories.
Yes, I am going to get to those in a moment. I will get to all of that stuff. Edmund did drive in. Hard to believe. He drove in 11 runs, and he had 11 hits in the series. But a lot of that was those games with the Dodgers.
They picked him up in July, Mike. No one's ever heard of him.
From the Cardinals. Yeah, I know. Came over from St. Louis, where he was for a long time. Otani, in his last 22 at-bats with runners in scoring position, he's only gone 18 for 22. That's a cool 818 that he's hit with runners in scoring position.
I've never seen anyone hit 818, ever.
Yeah, that will be, obviously, and listen, when you talk about the star power, it's everyone's number one priority, but especially the Yankees.
Have you ever seen
Ohtani.
Anyone, even, Yount, George Brett, our guy, you go on and on, the greatest hitters of all time, no one's ever hit 818. I've never seen that.
Especially when you're talking, I mean, look, it's not 5 at-bats, it's not, that, you know, over 20 at-bats, you get to 18 for 22, that's
insane.
That's pretty ridiculous. And we played clips last week of people, Dave Roberts having to defend people being upset that he wasn't hitting with no one on base. And the guy's 18 for 22 with runners in scoring position.
He's already earned his money. What did he get? $700 million.
That's really.
That's what Soto's going to get. $750 million.
That's what he's going to get. Unbelievable.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I never liked Dave Roberts as a player, and now I don't like him even more as a manager. But I won't deny he's good at his job. And here are the Dodgers opening up games one and two of the World Series at Chavez Ravine on Friday and Saturday, I'm assuming, right? I didn't look at it, but it's probably Friday, Saturday. And then they go back to the Bronx for three, and then six and seven are in L.A.
Yes, it would be Friday and Saturday night in Los Angeles, off day Sunday, and then next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, in the Bronx for games three, four, and five. Off day Thursday, and then Friday, Saturday again in L.A. for games six and seven,
right,
if need be, which I think they probably will need be, because I don't think that either of these teams are going to get swept or losing five or anything like that. I think that we're going to have ourselves a really good World Series, especially when you have this many top-end players that are going to be on display. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Here is Dave Roberts after the win last night. A lot more work to do.
That's it. You know, obviously we're going to celebrate tonight as we should. I think the whole world was looking forward or hoping for this potential matchup, this showdown. It's going to be great. They're a very talented team. But I think for us, it's kind of, you know, one game at a time, but appreciating the fact that we still got, you know, four wins to take care of business.
Screw you.
That's it. And he had that comment last week at Citi Field about, you know, beating the team on the other side of town. I beat him as a play. You know, that when he, of course, that miserable stolen base that he had in 2004 that caused the biggest comeback in playoff history.
I just hate him.
I know. We don't like Dave. You're probably going to hate him more in about a week and a half from now. I'm going to guess that you're probably really going to hate him by the time we continue to get through all of this.
I won't mind
here
him
you
if
go.
The Yankees win.
We won't mind him if the Yankees win, that's for sure. So game one will be Friday night. We know the Yankees are going to pitch Gerrit Cole in that game. Of course, the Dodgers probably aren't going to tell you who they're going to pitch until like 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon. Dodgers are favorites in game one. This is the game one odds. Minus 130, Yankees plus $1.10, 8.5. Healthy total, of course. We got a lot of big bats. And as far as the series goes, Scotty, the Dodgers are favored minus 128 to win the World Series. You can get the Yankees at plus 108.
I'll take the Yankees and Cole in game one, and I'll take the Yankees at plus 108 to win the World Series.
As we get closer to or throughout the week, and I know I'm not with you Thursday and Friday before game one this week, but
fail.
At least tomorrow and Wednesday, I have already seen some of the books put up World Series specials. And I am licking my chops at some of these things. So I will have some for you before I leave.
You better have some kind of sheet of integrity for the World Series with taters.
Yes.
For games one and two.
Yes.
Because you're going to miss game one. And you might as well just give me Saturdays, too, because you're off gallivanting and golfing for World Cups and booze and drugs and women. And
this is.
And you can't just leave us hanging here without tutties. And also taters. I mean, you gotta leave Wednesday with a package for Mafia and Luke so that we can put it all up for Thursday night football. And then I need Sunday tutties, and I need taters for games one and two. Like, so you can go off and have your fancy championship Augusta weekend up in the COD, but you can't leave us high and dry.
We'll have all those things taken care of. And yes, it is a tradition unlike any other this week. The 53rd annual Cape Cod Irish Open up in Cape Cod. My 22nd consecutive year, although I did miss one the year we bought the house, so I guess it's not consecutive, but 22nd year of that. And there was almost, I didn't even tell you this last week, almost a catastrophe. We had the Bulldog playoff game on Saturday this past weekend. Bulldogs playoffs. If we would have won and went to the championship, I would have had to cut short the Cape Cod Irish Open trip and be home for championship Saturday. But unfortunately, the Bulldogs lost to the
Harbor
Gators
High's
on Saturday.
First year as a baseball manager, finished with an 81% winning percentage, just like Ohtani with men on base.
Unfortunately, too many third graders on the Gator team. They got us on Saturday. So we avoid.
They were wearing buzzers inside their uniforms. Yeah. there were trash cans banging in the outfield.
It might have been. They were hitting the ball. They were hitting a lot more than we were. So anything's very possible with what happened.
Are you
going to
go
Saturday
back for a second year of managing? Will you return as the manager of the Bulldogs?
There's been some negotiations already. We got a few months. There's some negotiations to go.